Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is
Not Your Demographic,
a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
Go from our laughing into our laughing.
That's fine.
Okey-doke.
Oh man.
Welcome to Not Your Demographic, a podcast ostensibly about wrestling.
I loved the description that you wrote last week. 40% generously.
It is generous.
It was generous. I love that a bunch of people reached out and were like, listen, if you never want to talk about wrestling again, that's cool. It's because everyone hates the wrestling that's free, and it's difficult.
Well, yeah.
Not all of it. It's not
all bad. It's just, like, it's mired in shit.
Yeah. You have to walk through, like, a mile of shit to get, like, 4 meters of good stuff, like, that's hard.
It is hard. It is hard. How are you?
I'm a little drunk. Let's just get that up front, off the top.
Yeah, Erin's been drinking on the beach, doing her art. It's not even about your art anymore. It's just how I feel.
I know.
I like your art.
Thank you very much.
But when I use the word disdainfully, it's just
my, for your art. I went to a kettlebell class today. I didn't do any art things.
Whatever. Again, I just said the word art doesn't mean art anymore.
I know. It's my lifestyle that you're angry at.
Your art.
I'm good. Actually, I've been doing a bunch of job stuff this week. I kind of hit like despair mode last week where I was just like, man, I have submitted probably like 50 or 60. Yeah. Like I just submitted so many applications and felt so defeated. I had gotten so many non-answers and so many like there are better qualified people. I was just like, man, I'm so over this. And then like kind of like happens. I got 2 people that called me at the exact, like, literally within like 15 minutes of each other that were like, hey, do this thing, do this other thing. One was a proofreader gig and another is I don't really know how to describe it. It's a nonprofit and more or less it's an editorial position that like controls the content that they use for like training programs, but that's not the name that they use for it. But that's basically the job. But the woman that did my phone interview, she was like, submit a packet of things that like demonstrate that you can do things. And I was like, well, everything that I did is under this NDA. Like, I can't submit like shit, basically. My job were assholes. They did this shit on purpose, basically, so that it's hard to like
submit. Did you say that to her?
Yeah, more or less. I sent her, she was like, provide 1 or 2 links. And I was like, okay, listen, here's the link to our Apple Store feed for the podcast that I do. There's 190 episodes posted here. And also, here's the link to our Patreon. You probably can't see very much. And also, it's 18 and over, so just be aware of that when you click on it. And then under that was like, I'm sorry, I can't submit anything else. I have this NDA from this other place. I can describe it to you over the phone, but I can't actually send you any of the documents.
So wait, you're private on Twitter, but you're sending people this?
That's what I told her. I was like, listen, this is, I don't think she'd listen to any of it. I think it was just like, I need you to demonstrate that there is content that you've created that you like, the wall of here's 190 episodes is enough to look at and be like, oh, okay, I don't need to know any of this. Because we got on the phone and we were talking about it. And then she asked me about the podcast. She was like, tell me about your podcast. You like submitted this and it's on your resume. And so we were talking about it. And I was talking about how long we've been doing it. And she asked me, who's your favorite wrestler? And I was like,
okay. What a loaded question, lady.
Yeah, I like kind of stuttered and she was like, I know that's a really hard question to ask a person. I was like, okay, Becky Lynch. And she was like, oh, okay. And I was like, oh yeah, she's Irish. And she was like, oh, I know. And I was like, what?
What?
What? And we chatted for a bit and I was like, I also really love Colt Cabana. You probably have seen him on the 1 Hour Tease billboards here in Chicago. She was like, oh yeah, I know who that is. And I was like, And she was like, yeah, I don't really follow wrestling, but I watch the big pay-per-views because my husband really likes it, but he hates WWE and only listens to podcasts about business information. And I was like, what? I was like, oh shit, okay. Oh, yep. Speaking my language here. And so then we just chatted about wrestling for like 10 minutes. It is the weirdest thing. Like, I honestly thought putting the podcast on my resume would be kind of a bad thing because we're like, it's an explicit podcast. We like talk about this fucks, that fucks, things like that. And like,
you know what fucks? WrestleMania 14. It is now posted.
Check out our Patreon. Patreon.com/notyourdemopod. WrestleMania 14.
It fucks.
It's so good. That episode is also our episode about WrestleMania 14. Fucks. So please go check that out. Become a Patreon. There's tons of great content up there. But it's funny because I think that people hear me talk about it, and even though they're like, I don't get it, it's like, you're passionate about this thing and you clearly
I have such get it. The opposite reaction. People look at me like, oh, a podcast? Is that a real thing? Or like, how cute.
So weird.
I either get the like, that's not real content, or like, do people listen to your podcast, or like, that's cute, or it's
people
like
people ask me for our numbers and I tell them, they're like, oh my, like, that's great, and I'm like, cool, thanks.
Or people who are like, yeah, everyone has a podcast, and I'm like, yeah, but like, you guys say you have podcasts, and like, we have like a podcast.
There's been a gesture no one can see because this is a podcast.
I don't mean it like that. I just know several people who have a, quote, podcast, but have only put out, like, 4 episodes or don't have, like, a good schedule or, like, whatever. Like, we have a podcast. We do it. And sometimes the quality's shit, and sometimes it's great. And it's, like, that's, like, a podcast, right? It's, like, a weekly – we have a weekly standing date with an audience. And exactly. To me, that is what a podcast is.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's so funny that you get, like, positive reinforcement about it. I get not that.
That's so weird. That makes me so sad. I'm it sorry that you experienced. It makes me sad, too.
In, especially in my, like, weird depression week.
I wonder, too, if maybe it's just, like, because the jobs that I'm looking for and interviewing often for are, like, content jobs, that just the idea that I'm creating this content and, like, can work in an editorial way in any capacity is, like, evidence that people enjoy. I wonder if maybe that's part of it.
I feel like I always have to qualify it. Or, like, when I talk about my social media job, I'm like, I work for Vox.
Yeah,
like, I feel like I have to say that. Like, I feel like I can't even say like SB Nation. I have to be like, it's owned by Vox.
Yeah,
you know what that is, right?
Oh yeah, that's
right?
True.
I know I work on, quote, the internet, but like, I work on the internet. I don't know. Some people think it's really cool, and then other people, I'm like, yeah, I tweet about wrestling, but like, it is a real job. I don't know how to describe this about you, but it is a real job.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
you guys don't have to watch Raw every single week. I do. Though, truly. I will say Raw and SmackDown, for what Raw and SmackDown are, were pretty good this week.
That's good.
And Money in the Bank was pretty good, with some notable exceptions. And I feel like, and I hate saying this, I feel like if I weren't me, and I weren't somebody who writes about it and lives it in a way, I feel like the Brock thing would have been exciting if I didn't watch the product every single week. And in that mindset, I do, because it was shocking.
Yeah.
It was absolutely shocking.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially, like, again, I made a tweet and somebody, like, afterwards was like, I'm screenshotting this. Because Finn got destroyed.
Yeah.
Absolutely destroyed. And I made a tweet, something that was like, I'm never going to say a bad word about Finn Balor ever again.
I saw that too and was like,
And somebody was like,
I finally understand that Finn fucks? It's time. You finally get it.
I did not say Finn fucks.
You absolutely did say that Finn fucks.
I did not say Finn fucks.
I think you said that Finn fucks in this match, but you did say
I did not say fucks. The words Finn fucks did not come out of my mouth or my hands. I have a new respect for Finn, and also, like, I'm glad he's alive, so yeah. I won't make fun of his finisher, even though it's terrible, again.
Whatever. No, you get it now. He's like a legit wrestler.
I never said he wasn't. I still don't like him.
You said for a long time that he was a boring wrestler and that he...
Okay, so it took people throwing his body deliberately into ladders for me to be like, great.
People feel that way about Sasha. They feel that way about a lot of people.
No. I enjoy, like, a just a random match on a Monday night of Sasha's. Fins, I'm like, you have to destroy your whole body for me to even care.
I mean, some guys are like that. That's how I feel about Roddy Strong. Like, truly. I really do feel that way about him, where it's like,
that's fair.
I understand that people love you, and I just don't really get it. Or
unless you're dying for me.
Yeah, basically watching him like
gladiator,
like flat faced, just tumble off of a war cage. Basically, that was the only time I was like, I get it. I totally get it now.
He has way better comedic timing than Finn does, though.
It has gotten much better, but it was like that where I was like, oh, okay, it's going to take this. And I still like haven't really committed. But you
know what? In a similar vein to Roddy, I feel like Roddy was like not what people wanted when he was on his own and was a babyface. But when they put him with Undisputed,
yes,
and he was allowed to flourish and not even necessarily be a heel. Like, obviously he's a heel. It's a heel stable. But the flourishing in like having personality and a character and not having all these crutches, I feel like Finn could really use.
When he was with the Bullet Club guys, when they had the original Bullet Club stable for like a hot fucking second, like a year and a half ago, that was the most fun Finn had been in so long, because he was having fun. And that's part of it, is it's like, you put him with these guys who he loves, who were from the yesteryears where they got to do what the fuck they wanted, and they get to like have this camaraderie. They've already built this chemistry. They were having such a good time, and then they were like, nah, fuck them, and just like immediately split them up. And like, I can see how it would be like, fuck that, man.
No,
like,
for sure. But I'm saying,
so I get it. Yeah. Like, I totally understand that. Like, it reads as like lame and kind of like, all I care about is when you throw your body. Another example, Jeff Hardy. I kind of don't give a fuck about him when he wrestles individually, but I will watch him heroin ragdoll his body off of a cage, and I'm like, oh, man.
I just have a lot of, like, goodwill towards the Hardy still from all of my Impact days. So,
I mean, Matt Hardy, yes, I guess that's true. Part of it is because Jeff was injured for so long, and so, like, Matt is who I think of with that, and it's like, all right, Jeff was just a tag along. And I know that's not necessarily true, but that's how it feels in my head.
I don't know.
Because I don't particularly care for him.
Jeff Hardy fight a drone with a guitar.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that was fucking great. But it's like, I like, in my mind, I'm like, this was Matt's idea. And that's part of why I like it so much. So I think that's like, you're going to make my brother fight a drone with a guitar.
I don't need to see the Hardys in WWE. Like,
ever again.
There's so many people in WWE, and I hate saying this, but like, I genuinely like these people and I want them to succeed and blah, 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 blah. But there's so many people that I don't want in WWE, but I want them to be successful and have all whatever. Like,
yeah,
I feel that way about the Canalises. I feel that way about the Hardys. I feel that way, I guess, those two right now off the top of my head, the Impact people, I guess. I mean, EY for sure, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was great in Sanity, but the moment they broke that up, it was like, okay, what a joke.
Yeah, let all of Sanity go. All of them. Including,
well, I guess Killian, and we have been watching NXT, and he's being rebranded, so like, who knows?
Okay, whatever.
NXT apparently fucks lately. My plan is to catch up before the TakeOver.
Okay, I've heard that it fucks, but I've also heard that, like, the TakeOver...
Tyler Breeze is back. It fucks.
Okay, yes, true. That fucks. Tyler Breeze fucks, Velveteen Dream fucks, that fucks, the whole thing fucks. But the booking, I've heard, is weird because, like, the shows show all of these wonderful women's matches and feuds, and then somehow the takeovers always only have one women's match. And, like, this time particularly, Undisputed Era has three matches on this card, and there is still only one women's match. Like, why isn't Mia Yim and Bianca on the main card? Like, that... It's so bizarre to me. Like,
that's true. That's a valid ass complaint.
And the last time a women's match main evented a takeover was fucking Sasha and Bayley. Like, it's weird that they let their women have this, like, not always, not all of them. Like, Candace is for real an example of how this does not always happen. But, like, some of
Candace does not fuck in WWE. She's another good example of somebody that I don't want in WWE.
Yeah,
I want
I
you
agree.
To be successful and have all of it. It's like a catch-22, right? Mm-hmm. I want you to be successful and live your dreams and have money and do all the things that you personally
Absolutely.
Will feel creatively fulfilled and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, I don't want you in this company.
Yeah, totally. Like, and it's, I feel especially that way because I really want these people to be given this freedom to do this like fun and exciting stuff in NXT, but I also don't want to break my strike line more than I already have. And so it's like, it also, if it's, not something that fucks, then like I don't want to seek it out, kind of. It's weird, and it like pushes me even further away, especially hearing everyone else who watches the product so often just like, like, everybody always complains. Like, that's the whole deal.
Yeah, that's kind of the tricky part, though, because, right, like, everybody's always complaining.
Everybody's always complaining.
But, like, this week was pretty good overall.
Right, and, like, this week, it's the volume and intensity of the complaining and the complaints themselves are very different than,
and
like...
And they're very specific, they're, which you know is, like, different, right?
Exactly, like, and
it's
that...
It's not, this sucks, it's this thing, aka Brock Lesnar sucks.
Exactly, yeah. So it's been very specific about the thing that sucks right now. But before that, it had been like 3 weeks of generally,
I mean,
all of this fucking blows lighted on fire.
Between Mania to Money in the Bank, which were two, for what they are, pretty solid pay-per-views. Like, WrestleMania 35 was not amazing, because nothing can be that amazing when it's 8 fucking hours long. But it also had the best WrestleMania moment of all time. Full stop. I will not hear any other arguments. Kofi Mania is the best WrestleMania moment. Do not look at me. Do not make any faces. That's what it is. Kofi Mania fucks.
Yeah.
And then the whole month after that kind of blew, except for specific things like the Kofi stuff was still really good. And then Money in the Bank actually was a pretty good show. Both Money in the Bank matches, regardless of Brock, were fun and good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, Bayley winning was exciting. I hated the immediate cash-in because it proved three things to me. One, that they can't write for women, full stop. We already know that. But, like, two, they didn't trust Bayley to have an interesting character with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
The thing that I said is that they don't think that she can talk, and I was not expecting them to literally do the same thing 2 years in a row, basically.
But that's the thing. Number three, they just did it. They just fucking did it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was in a different way, I guess, but, like, also... Okay, we've had four, technically three, Money in the Bank holders, right? Because we had Carmella, Alexa, and Bayley. Bayley, so we've had three, and two out of three were immediate cash-ins on the same night. That is fucking boring. Yeah. I mean, it makes Carmella look like a goddamn star. A, she is a goddamn star, but like her reign, James Ellsworth's shit aside, the fact that they had to do it twice aside, she was fucking great at Money in the Bank. She like fundamentally understands. You know what? We don't do this anymore. Remember we used to appreciate Bay? I fucking am appreciate Bay.
Hell yeah.
Carmella, full
stop. I forgot about that. Absolutely.
Bring it back. Appreciate Bay. Carmella's my appreciate Bay. She is fucking so good. She understands wrestling on a character level. She is a great heel and she's a great fucking babyface. She's very funny and she's a pretty fucking good wrestler.
Yeah,
her mini match with Mandy Rose this week wasn't astounding or anything, but she looked great in that match. And her like feud with him and the fact that she can on the same show, especially when nobody is getting anything written for them, the fact that the writers wrote two segments for her that were demonstrably different, like she's having a legitimate feud with Mandy and is having this like fun shit with R-Truth.
Right.
And yeah, they bled into each other, but like the fact that the writers think like I can do whatever with Carmella and she's going to be game for it and she's going to do it is amazing. And Carmella does not get that. At least in the internet, and especially, like, on when I'm working.
Yeah, you work on the internet again, so you get this.
People do not give Carmella the fucking goddamn respect that she deserves.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of her shit in both Mixed Match challenges, fucking amazing.
Absolutely.
Carmella is money. Mella's money, man.
Mella is money.
Mella is money.
Totally, man. I feel like, too, with her, so many people are like, all right, she is a great mid-card wrestler. Like, there are people...
But when pushed to the top, when she did have the bank, she elevated herself
to
that level.
That's what I was just going to say, is that her character work is champion level. And so because her wrestling is this really good mid-card stuff, it can elevate up. And, like, you can kind of deal with the fact that she's not a great wrestler because she's such a great heel when she wants
but
to be.
But she's a good wrestler.
Right. But
I know.
But you know what I mean. Like, when you're up...
I mean, Alexa's not a great wrestler.
No, not anymore. She used to be, and
she's be a good wrestler. I would say her and Carmella are at the same competency level wrestling-wise. Alexa has some flashier moves because she used to be a fucking cheerleader, but, like, actual wrestling-wise, I feel like they're the same.
I think Carmella's psychology in ring is better than Alexa's, but I think that Alexa's ability to execute moves correctly right away is superior to Carmela's. So, yes. And.
See, I was just specifically talking about, like, executing moves. I think they're, like, on the same level.
Really?
I really do. I think that Alexa has flashier moves, so it maybe seems, because she can do, like, the sparkle splash and whatever, but, like, I think they are the same.
I mean, it's hard for me to say. It's been so fucking long since Alexa wrestled. I honestly can't really say.
Can we talk about that coffee cup moment? That shit was hilarious. Alexa, again, okay.
She's
like,
very funny. And it has flourished since she's had these several concussions whatever.
A thing, too. Like, I go back and forth about my love with Alexa because, like, I do really like her. And I think she's done some, like, I mean, she's one of the best fucking heels. She really is. Like, her shit from NXT to, like, now in a Roman way. I don't love the way she's been, like, forced down our throats. Like, I defend Charlotte all the time because, like, yeah, Charlotte is obviously forced down our throats, but, like, Charlotte also has the skills.
She, like, earns it in a different way.
Yeah, she backs it up. Yeah. Like, yes, it is it's a two-way street, right? Like, yes, they are giving her these things. It is written. It is written that Charlotte will be the top. But it is.
Truly and sincerely.
But also, she earns it and she backs it up.
Yeah.
So, like, there's something that I don't mind about it.
Yeah.
I like almost the lore of the flair. Like, I do. I like that she's a 9-time champ. Even if she was only one for 30 seconds, like, that is what you're building an otherworldly person. And she fucking backs it up. Alexa, her in-ring stuff has been good, and she isn't a bad wrestler by any means. But for the amount that she was pushed, I don't think it was backed up by what she does in the ring. But she always backs it up with her character shit. And the fact that they're still using her in a non-wrestling capacity, but still near the ring, speaks to how much that they don't want to lose her.
Yeah.
And I hate A Moment of Bliss. I think it's fucking terrible. And I think it does her no favors. A Moment of Bliss is bearable when it's just the women.
Yeah.
Because it's not that weird sexual undertone.
Yeah.
But Alexa Bliss leaning against the ring, drinking out of a ceramic coffee mug while Becky Lynch and Nikki Cross wrestle is a fucking mood.
It is so good.
It is a so good mood. And then her at the end having her hand raised, being like, uh-huh, yes, I was here.
That's true. I will asterisk my statement about her character with it over these months with the concussions and then not being able to, like, actually physically wrestle, despite the garbage that she's being handed.
So much shit.
Exactly. And I think that was, like, kind of clouding my judgment about the last couple of months. But, like, her character work inside of this garbage has been very good. And that's true. That's a very good example of that.
What wrestling shirt are you wearing?
I'm wearing my Do It With Flair, Charlotte Flair shirt. Her original NXT shirt. It's cut up into a
Crab tap.
I wore it to
The beach,
yes. I actually did not wear this to the beach. I wore a different crop top to the beach.
Jesus Christ.
It was covered in sand. I wanted to be polite and not wear that here. I'm covered in some sand, but tried mostly to wash off. I was leaving. I was like, I have dirt all over my face. I had to, like, stop and wash my face again. It was not great. I was leaving and Michael was like, didn't that used to be a full shirt? And I was like, nope, definitely always was like this. Definitely never came like that.
Yeah, they sell crop tops in WWE shop.
It did not fit me. That's part of why I cut it up. But I also wore it to PodSlam a year ago, 2 years ago.
I don't fucking know, girl.
At one of the PodSlams that we participated in. So it's been around for a minute.
What am I going to wear this year? I only have 3 wrestling outfits, and I have worn them all.
You wore Mighty Skrull the first year.
Oh, no, because we've only done it twice. So I still have CM Punk. Awkward.
You didn't
wear... So I did Bella last year.
Did you wear the Brie one last year?
Yeah. I wore Brie because I wore Marty the first year and Brie the second year. I guess I do have Punk. Awkward.
Weird.
Guess I'll be wearing that this year. Spoiler alert.
Ooh. Should I wear my Colt Cabana shirt?
Extra weird.
Extra weird.
Or I'll have another wrestling.
We'll sit as far apart from each other at the table as we possibly can. So terrible.
I am wearing a shirt that says, ask me about my feminist agenda.
I like that shirt.
I wore it to the class that I co-taught today.
Oh, nice.
In a blazer that no longer fits. I haven't worn that blazer, I think, since my, like, 20... What was the year that we went to Lost Lake for my birthday? Like, 20...
That was 3 years ago.
So 27?
Yes.
cool. I haven't worn it since then, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
And I put it on. And of course, like, I go to work, so I pack my bag to teach, but then I go to work in, like, my kitchen clothes. Mm-hmm. So I don't, like, wear nice clothes in the kitchen. And then I change, and I didn't try this blazer back on, and I was like, cool, I'm, like, fat guy with a little coat right now. My, like, ass me. I felt so terrible when I put my clothes on. I had a bra that had lace on it, and then I put this shirt on that I haven't worn in a long time, and I was like, oh, this shirt is, like, essentially see-through, so you can see all the lace. So it's, like, this chunky, like, shit on my tits, and then this, like, bright ass floral blazer that is very tight. And because when blazers get tight, their shoulder pads get extra, like, pronounced. Yeah. I looked insane.
Oh, that reminds me, I didn't go through your donation.
Well, would you like this blazer?
Perhaps. I need to go through that before you get rid of it.
But I'm also wearing some sweatpants, some burn it down sweatpants.
All right. That's all right.
I just love these sweatpants, yo.
I mean, WWE sweatpants are really comfortable. It's bizarre.
I was wearing, so there's a class right before mine, and so I always, like, run into the teacher there, and I was wearing on Tuesday my Superkick shirt, so it's, like, that font where it's, like, a word and then the and symbol and the word and yeah. the and symbol, so you can do, like, the Stark brothers and sisters or, like, you know, the Housewives or whatever. And the Young Bucks did one a couple years back that said Superkicks and Superkicks and Superkicks and Superkicks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was wearing that and also a blazer, but one that fit. And the teacher, he just moved, he must have just got a job at DePaul because he moved from Texas. And so we've talked and he was like, what's your shirt say? And I was like, oh, it's like Superkicks. Like, it's a wrestling thing. I'm like into wrestling or whatever. And he was like, oh yeah. And I was like, yeah, you know, K-Tight Seats and the podcast. And yeah, it's like my thing, whatever. And he was like, yeah, I used to watch wrestling in Texas, like with my friends. And then we kind of started talking about it. And I like said a couple of things about like AW or the Bucks or whatever. And he like knew a lot more, like in the same way you're being interviewed, like knew a lot more than I had anticipated. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like we could actually talk about this or whatever.
It's like delightful, but also like,
he also said today when I ran into him, he was like, nice podcast. And I was like, oh hi, no. Thank you.
Oh no.
Thanks for listening.
Hi. Yeah. It's so funny because I love running into people where it's like, oh no, you're going to think this is like, okay. I went to I went to a terrible wedding this weekend.
What if your family listens to this?
They don't. I know that because I... Okay, so I was in Muskegon, Michigan. No one in Muskegon listens to this. I can almost... If you are in Muskegon and listen to this, please at me. I'll find it. My name is Urgency, and I will find it if you at me.
It is private.
Yes, but I will see it if you at me and you're in Muskegon. So I was in Muskegon, and we're driving in, Michael and I, and we're going to my cousin's wedding. We weren't really excited about it. Various reasons, whatever. So we're driving in and I'm looking at Instagram and Trey Ryan posted that he was going to be in Grand Haven. And I was like, yo, you want to blow off this wedding and go see Joey Ryan wrestle? Michael was like, no. It's like, but okay, fine. And so we go to this wedding. This Catholic ceremony was particularly offensive and mentioned several times that marriage is between a man and a woman, and also made sure to mention that life starts at conception. And I was like,
yay.
I was like, if my mom wouldn't murder me and my sister wasn't the maid of honor in this wedding, I would fucking walk out right now. I was so furious.
How old is this person that got married?
22.
Yikes.
You could see in her eyes that she regretted it halfway through the wedding. Because then she got to the reception and she was just in the bathroom for like hours. And she literally said to my sister halfway through the ceremony, I started to feel iffy. And I was like, oh, she's drunk. And my sister was like, no, that's not what happened. So it was like the worst wedding. And so we're like sitting around talking about this. And I was like, we should have gone to wrestling. We should have gone to wrestling. And everyone was like, Aaron, it's weird. We don't want to hear about it. It's weird. We don't want to know. So I like, no, they're not listening to this. But I was like, guys, we really should have gone to the wrestling. It would have been way better than this.
Anyway, so I'm wearing sweatpants. Seth Rollins sweatpants.
Yeah.
That match, okay. It's one of those matches that on paper you're like, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, that's going to fuck, right? Like, you're yeah. just like, yeah, like, that's going to fuck.
Like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe on paper fucks.
Well, AJ Styles in person did not fuck. It was... AJ yeah. Styles and, like, Samoa Joe. Ugh, that sucks. And went on way too long.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's this thing about Joe where he's, like, so good and great at talking and menacing, But, like, sometimes he gets stuck in a few that you're like, ugh.
It's weird because it's not that the matches are bad. It's just, like, why is this happening?
His match with Rey Mysterio were this, like, 30-second match.
They're not great, but they're not bad.
No. Okay. I watched the pay-per-view.
Okay. Fair.
Samoa Joe's match with Rey Mysterio lasted for about 47 seconds. His face got smashed on, like, a Rana. And Rey rolled him up, kind of, but his shoulders were on the ground. It's very unclear, like, was it supposed to happen so that this feud could continue, blah, 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 whatever. Joe pops his head up after the bell's been rung, and Rey rolls out of the ring and looks shocked or whatever. And Joe's, I don't know if his nose was broken or what, but he is literally bleeding from his eyes. And then
talking about this match. I was just talking previous to this.
No, but, and then, like, he's, like, grimacing and doing that face that Joe can only do. And then, like, more blood just falls from his, like, nose and eyes. And it was fucking terrifying. It was the most terrifying thing I feel like I've ever seen. Joe, just this, like, behemoth of a man, furious, literally crying blood.
Oh, my God. What is it about the United States title that, like, these short ass matches that come out of nowhere, it's like, hold on. But then you get to the end and you're like, okay, I guess.
I don't know. That was nuts. I don't know what was supposed to happen and what wasn't supposed to happen, but it was nuts. Anyways, what I was saying, you look at AJ Styles and Seth Rollins' paper and you're like, yeah, of course, that's gonna fuck. But then I feel like I wasn't prepared for how much this match was gonna fuck. You know what I mean? Because, like, intellectually in my head, I'm always like, yeah, AJ Styles is one of the best wrestlers in the entire world, period, full stop. Like, he's not one of my favorites, but, like, I'm not a fucking blind idiot. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world, right? Like, he just is.
You're not a blind idiot.
He just is. And the thing about Seth Rollins is, Seth Rollins has been a part of the WWE for so long now. Obviously, he started on the indies and, like, did incredible shit on the indies, like Age of Fall, all that stuff. He's clearly, like, paid his dues, worked his ass off in the indies, gives back to the indies still, whatever. Mm-hmm. But
that's a school.
He has been in the WWE machine now for so long that he's Seth Rollins now. He's not
the room leader.
Yeah, he's not Colby Jack or whatever the fuck his name was.
Colby
I know, is it Colby Jack? Oh my God!
His shoot name is Colby. Not, I don't know if it's his first name. I think it might be his last.
What's his name of the indies?
Black. Tyler Black.
Tyler Black. Colby Black. Got it.
Colby Jack!
I knew that was wrong.
Cheese man.
It was also a fun joke and it made me laugh.
And I knew immediately who you were talking about.
Yeah. Anyways. He's been in the WWE for so long, he's no longer Tyler Black, he is Seth Rollins.
Yes.
And because he's been in the WWE machine for so long, and because WWE has a certain reputation that is, frankly, well-earned of people who are not as good as people on the indies, or are not worth the hype, or things like that.
Or are beaten down by the machine itself, right. Yeah.
I feel like people don't give Seth actually enough credit for how fucking amazing he is at wrestling. Mm-hmm. He is truly, like, the smoothness with which he wrestles, the transitions, he tries new shit, even in a company that, like, doesn't necessarily love for you to try new shit.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, AJ Styles and him had never wrestled in WWE and had only ever, like, wrestled once on the indies or whatever, and they could have this smooth ass.
And it was, like, when they were young.
And yeah, it was when they were, like, little babies. Yeah. Does that even count? No, I don't think it does.
It was a really long time ago.
But the fact that these two people could get in the ring together for the first time and just, like, create a match that was that fucking good. Like, the Women's Money in the Bank was my favorite match of the night. Seth and AJ was the best match of the night.
Oh, shit. Okay. I only watched the women's stuff, so...
Right, yeah, I understand the picket line, but I'm just saying.
But, like, okay, I will seek that out illegally that, like, you've convinced me. That's fine.
I was just like... You know, I'm just sitting there like tra-la-la on my phone. I'm like, oh, this is a men's match. I care 50% less. But this one, I was like genuinely like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Like, legit. Good. Very good. I just feel like Seth Rollins, weirdly, like for being the top of the company and having this universal title, I weirdly don't think he gets the respect he deserves.
Well, it's weird. It seems like people say about both Seth and Roman that they're only top stars because of the Shield. But then, like, everyone says, like, Dean was worthless in the Shield. Like, then Wait, what do you mean then?
So different. Well, like, no, all the things I just said about Seth do not really apply to Robin. No.
I don't mean to say that they are the same. I just mean that there's this, because they are part of the Shield, people think like, oh, well, whatever. They're kind of like, you said, there's the Roman syndrome where people just kind of are like, okay, whatever. They don't get what they deserve because everyone expects to see them all the time.
Yeah.
And it's because of the Shield, but it's like, okay, well, if two of the three people in the Shield are around all the time, it's not because of the Shield. The Shield was that because of these guys who then went on to be the top stars and the locker room leaders. And like, Dean was kind of that and is really good and has since left to do other things because he wasn't being utilized.
Do you think
he's going to
show up at Double or Nothing on Saturday?
I don't know, man. I feel like...
Well, LOL to Ty Dillinger's contract running out, or his 90-day non-compete running out 48 hours before the show.
Hilarious.
Also, the fact that Pac is not going to be there now, and it's just like...
Who's it going to be?
This was one of your... This was one of the selling points of this show.
I can't believe they thought that Pac was going to lose a match. His whole thing is that he left WWE because he wanted creative control. He went to Dragon Gate and they gave him this belt and he gets to write how he wants it to be written. He wants it to be completely protected and he doesn't take a loss until he drops the belt so that whoever wins it from him gets this legitimacy. That's his whole fucking deal. Like, I can't believe that AEW was like, yeah, you're totally gonna lose to Adam Page. Right? Like why
not
would
that
it-
he doesn't deserve respect, but like, there's not a thing being built in the same way. As
yeah.
I see both sides. I see people being like, Pac's being a baby, blah, blah, blah. But like, also, he clearly
said he would do like DQs too. That's the whole thing. Like, why wouldn't you just run a match that ends in shenanigans in some way?
Yeah.
Why don't you book Joey Ryan and have him show up with a bunch of penises again and have a disqualification? Like, it's so easy to
because,
do.
Because like, AEW's gonna be serious.
Oh my God.
I feel like All In and the fun of All In.
I just started twitching. Oh my God.
I don't know. I have a feeling that AEW is going to be serious in a way that's not going to benefit them.
Oh, man.
Because the reason the people love the Bucks and love Joey and love stuff is because they didn't take themselves seriously.
Yeah.
But now you got all this billionaire money and you're on TNT drama or whatever. And like, I feel like, I don't know. I'm going to watch on Saturday. We're going to watch on Saturday.
Yeah,
but it's just like, I don't know, man.
We have no product to look at. That's why it's hard, because all we have right now are speculations. And
right
it
now,
feels weird, and I'm like, there's so much information that none of it at this point feels like, wait, what? I'm just really...
They have to work really hard not to be other ROH.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
And like, step one, have women on your main card. So, like, step two, somebody get Dalton Castle out of that company.
Oh, my God. That man, he's like, I'm on a beach. I'm in a tree.
See, like, that's the thing, like, going back full circle to what we started to talk about at the top. That's a problem right now, right? Like, I do not want to watch ROH because I think they're a bad company. They're owned by a Nazi corporation. They treat their women like shit. There's not really anybody I'm interested in. But then there's this, like, beautiful light of Dalton Castle where I'm like, fuck.
I know.
I want to support this person. I want
Cole Cabana. I give a shit about Cole Cabana.
Give a shit about Cole, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, Impact. Like, I really miss watching the Knockouts. I really miss it. And I, like,
Scarlett requested her release.
Good for Scarlett.
Feminist icon.
Tens know their worth.
Killer Cross was like, I'm out. She was like, you know what? I'm out, too.
They're, like, a weirdly cute couple. And they're, like, scary, like, hot, like... Angry.
They are
way.
Scary hot. That's exactly
well,
right.
He's scary and she's hot. They're scary hot.
Well, she's also scary in like when she's with him.
Yeah, she's
she...
a succubus. Succubuses
yes.
are scary.
I was literally just gonna say she feeds off of his energy. That's absolutely right. They're stronger together.
Miss Tessa, I miss Jordan. Like I do, I miss Eddie. I miss my crazy woods man. But also I am excited because WoW Superheroes added a bunch of new women.
Cool.
Alicia Edwards is going to be on there.
Oh,
I don't
right.
really give a shit about Alicia Edwards, but also, like, think Diamante's going to be on there. And then there's a bunch of new people that I don't recognize, but I'm excited. I love WoW Superheroes. Anyways, it's a problem. It's just hard because I want to watch WWE and I want to watch Impact and I want to watch ROH because of specific people. But overall,
It's overall trash.
Yeah, the overall product sucks.
Yeah. It sucks because I feel like...
And also, I just like coming home and putting on my TV. I don't have, like, having to sign in to fucking everything, this, that, and the other. So, yeah, people could be like, well, watch, you know, indie wrestling and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I want to do that. But again, I pay a lot of money for cable. I just want to watch the shit on my cable.
Yeah, truly. I think that's what's good about AEW, theoretically, is that they present another free cable option to watch very easily. But, like... be good. Just because you're better than garbage doesn't mean you're good. But again, like, we have no product to look at. It's just what they're telling us through what they're doing. Like, demonstrate to us through your pay-per-view that your show is going to be good and make me watch that television too. Like, WWE's free and I'm not watching that because it's garbage and they're garbage. So, like...
Well, yeah. I mean, you would be watching it if, even though it was garbage, except for the fact that they, you know... deal with Saudi Arabia.
If I was a casual fan, because now I'm not someone who's watching every week and who's like super involved in the day-to-day product, like if I was a casual fan at this point, I don't know if I would be watching.
Yeah, but I'm saying you are not a casual fan.
Given the freedom to be a casual fan, yes, I would not be watching. Suppose that's different.
It is different. What did you think about the women's matches on Money in the Bank?
I mean, all of the fucking women are amazing. I think that's part of it.
Money in the Bank ladder match was fucking fun.
Yeah.
Naomi was so fun in that match.
Her gear. I mean, obviously, I'm a little biased because I'm a B person, but...
Also, there have been tons of men who have done the superhero gimmick. We've had Wonder Woman. Like, it was fun to have, like, a black female superhero. Like, absolutely. That was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And WWE is a huge audience, and it's nice to draw people to, like, you're part of this product's fandom who maybe haven't reached that part of that fandom either. And so I think that that's cool, too, that she's like, I'm cool, and, like, because I'm smart and nerdy, and, like, men can be smart and nerdy, and, like, there's no difference in that. I like that a lot.
I also thought...
And she looked fucking great.
She looked great. And she had, like, multiple great moments. That splits thing with the ladder smashing was so fun.
Yes.
Ember looked great. Like, she had a sick-ass eclipse. That was awesome. Dana Brooke did a really good job. I shat all over Dana Brooke.
I know. You were shitting at her so hard. And I was like, I feel so validated in these moments.
I mean, I don't like Dana Brooke, and I feel like everything that I said last week still stands, but I will say in this particular match, she did a good job. She was like last year when Lana was in it. Lana,
yeah,
we made fun of a lot, but like Lana in that match last year did a really good job.
Absolutely. The whole idea of Money in the Bank is it's supposed to elevate the person who gets it. But also, like, that's kind of the deal with this for the women right now, is that if you're in this match, you get the chance to demonstrate in a ladder match, which you're not normally given the opportunity to do, that you fuck too. Like, that's, like, kind of the whole deal, is that, like, I think Bayley's a great example normally of how women are given, like, kneecapped opportunities to show that they can do the same kind of shit and are just as good at delivering in these moments. And this Money in the Bank is one of the... It's nice because it's a yearly event where all of these women who are participating can be like Dana, can elevate and be like, let me show you that I fucking belong in this match and that I belong to be here. And I feel like Elimination Chamber is also like that, and, like, Mania is like that to some degree, but you have to already be, like, booked into that season, definitely. Like, you can have, like, an amazing match in the middle of the card sometimes, and that will pull attention in a different way, but, like, women are not given that often in WWE because that's how that company works. But I think that this is a really good example of how all the women are taking this opportunity and being like, let us show you that we fucking deserve this. Like, stop pulling us off of TV. Stop giving us 8 minutes of a 3-hour broadcast. It's not actually what it is, but that's what it feels like, is that they're being...
I mean, it's not 8 minutes.
I mean, yeah, it's like they're being horrifically underutilized, and like, I wish that they would recognize that the numbers indicate that the women are what pulls, and the women deliver every time they're given the opportunity to really deliver.
Well, people would argue against that because the women main evented WrestleMania, and then the numbers have been really bad.
Yeah, because after Mania, they stopped doing all the shit that everybody liked. Like, I don't... Like, I think it was smart what they ultimately did with the SmackDown belt. I think it's, like, I get why they split them up.
Becky Two Belts was cool and everything, but also, like, that kneecaps your writing for women that they're already bad at.
Yeah, absolutely, because they can't build middle and low card divisions for women. And if they could, then yes, Becky should have held it for like an entire fucking year and been Becky two belts.
The Iconics but they don't have know what their to belts do. For the women's tag belts have only been around for a hot ass second, and they're already like a forgotten title.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I guess is just a tag team rule.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's, I don't know if it's the women. I think it's just that they don't know what the fuck to do with any of
the men's
teams.
SmackDown was on the pre-show, and then the Raw SmackDown, or the Raw tag, the men's tag SmackDown tag champ was on the pre-show, which LOL Daniel Bryan was on the pre-show after just like having one of the best matches at WrestleMania whilst being the champion, whatever. And then the Raw tag titles like weren't even there.
Really?
Yeah.
Who are the Raw tag champions?
Zach and Kurt. Yeah.
The Shadow Realm. Right, right, right. Have them drop the belts.
They got the belts and then took them into the Shadow Realm.
Yeah, exactly. Have them drop the belts and go for the Shadow Realm title, the 24/7 title.
Except for the 24/7 title is getting a lot of
time. It.
And also, I don't think the 24/7 title is a Shadow Realm title. I think it is meant for Shadow Realm people, but is a title that will be used on TV, and that's the point of it. It's to be like...
No, that's what I mean, is that it was a belt that's designed to bring those people into television because people like them, and you can, like, shift it off of people.
But then also, if you're just gonna give it to Truth, which is, like, great, but, like, Truth does get used in a way that Shadow Realm people don't.
Yeah, totally.
And also, but Truth is also just made for it.
Also, didn't they say it was just the third hour? Does that mean they're only gonna cover it over the third hour?
Like, honestly, the third hour thing is unclear to me.
I think
it's unclear to everyone. They like dim the lights. Mick Foley said the third hour, and then they dim the lights, and then I was like, okay, whatever.
I don't understand what that means.
Yeah, nobody does, dude.
So they'll never address it, is what you're telling me.
No, apparently it's gonna be even more distinct next week, is what the dirt sheets say.
Jesus. Okay, whatever.
Whatever. I thought the Women's Money in the Bank match was fun as fuck. I really enjoyed it. I liked the outcome because, like, I've been preaching that I wanted Bayley to win it the whole time. But that moment where Sonya was, like, literally carrying Mandy up the, like...
That was
like,
crazy.
You know what? If Mandy wins because Sonya carried her up a ladder, fine.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, totally.
I like that Sonya wasn't even in this match and Sonya looked like a fucking badass.
Absolutely. And it's funny, too, because I feel like this is exactly what should have been like with Carmella and Ellsworth when he should have carried... If they didn't
if
write
he weren't, like, a toothpick and a dweezil.
Dweezil!
It's a Sailor Moon thing.
Dweezil! Yeah, if he wasn't a dweezil, that's how it would have worked. That it wouldn't have been him who unclipped it the first
but
time
he's
he
a
would
dweezil.
Have. But he's a dweezil.
And maybe a sex predator.
He definitely a sex predator. I believe that that's a thing. But, like, I love that this moment was used to be, like, Sonya fucks. Sonya fucks so hard. And
Sonya fucks hard.
Yeah, Sonya fucks hard. It was awesome.
Okay, objectively, without my opinions, what did you think of the Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans match? First of all, what did you think of her entrance?
It was doing the most. That's like the nicest way I think I can put
it. But doing the most can be a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. She wanted to go pay-per-view flashy. And this was her title shot match on a pretty big pay-per-view. And so I understand why she did this. Like, is she ever going to have a Mania restaurants?
I hated it. I can't even let you finish. I hated it. I thought she looked cheap. I thought she looked stupid. Her fucking costumes, like this, when she goes above, like, her regular costumes, like, that makes sense for her, like, pin-up-y, like, the lady thing.
But I'm not saying I liked it. I just
giant
the idea
sequin
of it.
Sombrero on, and then you have, like, coupon guns. Like,
that's what I said. I said that.
I stole your joke.
You totally stole my joke.
I wished hard in that moment that you were in private, because that would have been a quick retreat.
Oh, you should have just asked me. I would have let you steal it.
It was very funny. But I thought it was fucking stupid. It was so dumb. And if her character is like, I'm a lady, I'm classy, I'm this, and then you come out in the tackiest, the tackiest thing. It just
like I said,
doesn't
I understood
work.
The idea of why she went big, but yeah, the execution didn't.
Alicia Fox's hats work because she's nuts.
She's nuts. Yeah, that's the whole deal.
But if you're supposed to be this class act and then you come out looking like, God, I don't even know.
Like Projects of Hollywood's meets like Walmart somehow.
Yeah, or like a drag queen on their first go round at it. It's like, oh, I'm entering a drag bar. Like,
yeah, it was her first big pay-per-view entrance and she was like, I'm doing it up. And it's like, she'll look back on this and be like,
it was
trash.
Oh
no.
I hated it.
I love the money guns, but like, what? Why? wait, what? It's weird because her, like...
Not even gonna paint them, though?
Her instincts are good. The execution is horrific. I think that's part of it, is it's like, if she could not be what feels like gross white nationalist trash and, like, could hone this and get better, like... It's weird because her whole deal is, I used to be in the army and I'm older than what you would consider a new superstar to be. And so I feel like with a lot of time, with like 10 years, she could have like a really drastic, like she could hone those instincts. But I don't think that she really has that timeline that she can drastically improve her wrestling in that
way. I don't
think
she has that longevity in a character.
Yeah.
This character has a ceiling.
Yeah, exactly.
It really does. Also, I don't understand. So Becky Lynch basically had to barely get into the match at WrestleMania. She had to, like, get her ass kicked over and over and over again. She's supposed to be this strong, badass character. And then Lacey Evans takes her to town? Really?
Yeah.
Like, I get... It's this fine line because you want to build up new superstars, but also, like, she's supposed to be your double fucking champ. She tapped Ronda Rousey, and then she almost lost to Lacey Evans. That's... Well, she didn't tap Ronda Rousey. She rolled her up, whatever. She should have tapped her. That's a whole nother thing. She beat Ronda Rousey. She's the only person to do that. And then Lacey Evans almost wins?
Yeah.
That's bullshit. She should have beat the shit out of Lacey, and then Lacey should have interfered in her match. And then Lacey still would have been relevant and still could have had the match on SmackDown or Raw or whichever fucking one. I think she was on both of them. It doesn't even matter. I don't even care. I don't even feel like looking at the timestamps because I'm so annoyed by Lacey Evans. And it's hard. It's in a very similar vein when we were talking about Ronda. Like, it's hard for me to be objective about Lacey because I vehemently don't like her. I don't like the character. Yeah. I don't like the execution. I don't like the wrestling. I don't like anything about her. So I can't even, like, give her credit where credit's due here and there. But, like, this shouldn't have been that match. She should have gotten her ass kicked and then interfered and then still been in the whole thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Because I was thinking that it was, like, they did this because they want to demonstrate that Becky was beaten down when she was beaten, like, by Charlotte. Well, that was the whole deal, too. Like I said last week, is that was their idea.
But even if she comes out, if Becky's fighting Charlotte, but still, it's still a back-to-back match, even if you win it in a pretty handedly way, you still fought a match, right? And then Charlotte comes out, and then, okay, Becky's cocky, she's gonna fight her. She's fighting Charlotte. It takes like, we've seen time and time again, it takes literally every ounce of strength Becky has to beat Charlotte, because Charlotte is that character that fucking earned it. She shouldn't have had the same level of, like, I can barely beat this person as Charlotte. That's bullshit. That's absolute fucking trash. And then Lacey Evans comes out, even if she almost lost or whatever, delivers a women's right, which hilariously Becky shook off like 3 weeks ago. So I don't know why all of a sudden it's something that, like, takes her out. It's just a fucking mess. Lacey Evans and her storyline and the way that they write her is a mess top to bottom, and I will hear no other arguments.
All right, fine. I mean, I agree with you, so that's fine.
And we already kind of talked about the cash-in. Anyways, I feel like Becky's getting kind of screwed.
Yeah, I feel like it's that same idea of, like, someone doesn't like her and has decided that they don't want to write for her, or that she's hard to write for, or difficult to write for, or fucking whatever. And, like, I don't think that it's her fault at all.
They're like, well, we see all these complaints on Twitter, we gotta write for the other women, so we're gonna sacrifice her champion to do that. That's bullshit. You can do more than one thing at once.
No, they think that the only thing you could do are the belts. That's why they have two of them, and they need two people to hold
give
them.
Everything to Carmella. At this point, I will say the Iconics had some fun moments on Raw. I do love the Iconics. It was in that Moment of Bliss coffee segment, so we mostly were focused on the coffee, but I do love the Iconics. I mean, the Iconics coming out and be like, oh, do you not have two belts anymore? Because we have three belts, or we have two belts. Like, you have one belt, we have two belts. And then Becky being like, well, come over here and I'll take your belts, and then I'll be Becky three belts, okay? That was great.
Oh, Becky.
Truly, anything the Iconics do, I'm into. I love them so much.
Two powerful pun forces come together, and that's what it was.
Too many belts. Okay, any other thoughts? Oh, I guess we should talk about Brock.
Yeah, we should talk about Brock.
We did a little bit.
It was shocking.
Well, here's a rumor, and this rumor breaks my heart. The rumor is that Mustafa Ali was told that he was going to win, and then And then right before, they changed their mind and he wasn't. That's a rumor and that might not be true. But if that's true, that's fucking bullshit. Also, because Brock Lesnar came out, hit a ladder, which hit two cameramen, and they were hurt, and then pushed Mustafa off the ladder in a way that hurt Mustafa. He was fine to wrestle the next day, but, like, what is fine, quote-unquote, in Mustafa Ali's world? Because, like,
I watched somebody get a concussion off a railing, and he was like, I'm fine, and people were like, no, you're not, you can't wrestle.
Yeah, so, because he's the type of person that, you know, if all of the alleged things about the WWE doctor are true, he's the type of person that will wrestle through a Z-Pack and will wrestle. Yeah, he will do.
Totally.
If the doctor says A-okay, he's going to do it. And then if the doctor says, eh, he's going to do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
So what is fine? We haven't seen Finn Balor, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember seeing him. We could have. Sometimes I zone out. I don't know.
Mindlessly tweeting.
Well, also, like, Finn Balor comes on and I zone out, right?
I mean, true.
I said I wasn't going to say anything. I said I wouldn't tweet anything mean. This is not a tweet. I can still be mean to Finn Balor on this podcast. You can say
those things with your mouth. Yeah, that's fine. I just have to deal with it.
Bray Wyatt had another, like, vignette thing, and it was, like, distorted children or whatever. I don't know. At this point, I'm intrigued, but over it until it's in the ring.
Yeah, like, you gotta deliver at some point, because I feel like WWE has because
it's 5 weeks of Firefly Funhouse, and we have the turn already, so he's in the mask.
Yeah, he...
So...
WWE has this terrible habit of building things up for like 6 to 12 weeks and then
would
it's
you
like,
rather
I'm done with this.
The mask function as a Finn Balor demon type thing or as a Kane type thing?
Kane.
Agreed.
I think he should wear it all the time when he wrestles.
Agreed. Because you know why? Kane fucks.
Because Kane fucks. Yeah, totally. Like, it's totally corporate Kane style where...
You guys, I used to say that my favorite wrestler, like old-timey wrestler, was Stone Cold Steve Austin because that's what I remember growing up on, but I'm pretty sure that it's Kane.
It's definitely Kane. You've been saying that for some time. Also, again, go subscribe to our Patreon and listen to WrestleMania 14. Kane fucks. Totally.
Current favorite wrestler, Tessa Blanchard. All-time favorite wrestler, Kane.
Makes sense. Totally. Yeah. That checks out.
Yep. Mayor of Knoxville, who was stalked by a crayon, Kane. Inside jokes. Do you have anything else to say about wrestling?
We should talk about Ashley.
We should talk about her.
It happened while we were recording last week. That's when the news broke. That's why we didn't talk about it last week. It's sad. I kind of like, we should address it, but I kind of don't really know what to say.
I agree. Because I feel like I'm in a weird spot because like, I did not watch at all when she was wrestling and when she was around. I have no affinity to her. I don't know anything. I really honestly don't know anything about her. And I feel like I'm really truly learning about her for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's really sad to learn about somebody in this context.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
There's also all of the like sexual assault stuff that's like being alleged, which is very graphic and very fucked up and really... Like, super fucked up.
It's really fucked up, too, that WWE's immediate response was to be like, she apologized for this thing. Like, that doesn't make you look better. That makes this... I feel way weirder about this now. Like, it was such a strange response, and, like, it just... It feels very gross, but, like, all of that being said, and the tragedy aside, there's a community of wrestlers who are coming together.
There's a community of female wrestlers and Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Let's be real. The
You're
community
right.
of wrestlers that came around to raise their voices about this woman and who she was and why she will be missed and her family and what she leaves behind are women wrestlers and Mick Foley.
Mick Foley, you're right.
Well, credit where credit is due.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Mick Foley has been a long advocate of Reign and has raised like an enormous amount of money for a lot of women's causes and like really seems to fucking care and like has put a lot of effort into that. And it's really noticeable that he's the only one, like, really noticeable, and it's really sad. Although, Kevin Owens was also, like, boosting it, and,
Kevin Owens
like,
is also legit as hell.
Yeah, is also super fucking legit, and I want to say Sean Spears did also. That might be incorrect, but I think that might also be someone who, there were, like, a couple of people that I saw boosting it, but, like, almost, I think it's almost exclusively women.
Yeah. Well, they're the ones that made it and spearheaded it, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a GoFundMe. You should look it up and give money to help her daughter. Like, that's truly what it is it's, like, it's really to help her daughter continue to have, like, a life and an education. She was a single mom, and, like, this girl deserves help.
Absolutely.
Well, that brought it down.
Sure did, but it was important. Like, we talk about things that are important sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. It's true. We talked about a lot of wrestling this week, too, also.
I'm very proud of
generously.
Us. I would say it was like an 80%, maybe 75%.
I think you're right, actually. There were no tangents. We didn't fan cast anything. We've had some requests to fan cast Game of Thrones wrestlers, but I would have to think about it, I think.
Yeah, that one. I did see this amazing fan cast of black actors as the characters in Game of Thrones, and it like so good.
Cool.
I'll have to find it and post it somewhere because it was really good.
Cool.
Yeah, fan casting is hard when we're not super wasted.
Yeah, exactly. We need more lubrication for something like that.
Yeah, Aaron's drunk, but it's like a low-key all-day drunk.
Yeah, exactly. I've just been slowly baking in the sun also, so I think some of it's like evaporated out of my skin. I went into Lake Michigan today, like, several times, because I went in and I was like, ooh, this is fucking cold. Okay, well, I'll just go up to, like, my thighs, basically, because I was in a bathing suit, so I was like, I'll go in as far as I can without getting my suit wet, because if it's not warm enough to dry it, I don't want to do that. So I'll go in, I'll get my legs wet, I'll see what's going on. I sat on the beach, my legs dried super fast, and I was like, all right, cool, I'm going back in. Went back up to, like, my rib cage and was like, this isn't as bad as I thought, but it's very cold. It's very cold. And then I just, like, sat in the water the third time, which was really nice. So I was like, okay, we're getting to beach summer. It's summer. But it was just, like, this was the first time I've gone to the beach of the three times that I've gone so far this year that there have been, like, a handful a lot of people, other people. Yeah. And so it was nice to just, like, sit and drink on the beach and be like, this is chill. This is nice. I'm glad it's not just me alone on this. Like, it was nice to be me alone on a beach, but it's nice that there are, like, other
people. While it was raining.
Well, one time that it was, like, sort of raining. And then I was under a cabana. That cabana was open today. I was like, man, well, if it rained, I could not go in there today.
Well, you could have and then gotten whatever you buy at a cabana.
Yeah, ice cream and soda pop.
Soda pop.
Yeah.
You can find us on the internet. I'm at @Stella_Cheeks.
I'm at @Urgency.
You can use the hashtag #NotYourDemoPod to interact with us online.
Absolutely. You can email us at notyourdemo@gmail.com.
You should rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever your fucking podcasts are found. Also, go to Patreon and subscribe. Patreon.com/NotYourDemoPod.
WrestleMania 14. Fucks.
It fucks. Also, you know what else fucks? Our merch. Go to What a Maneuver.
Yeah, our merch does fuck. We've got two really good shirts up that you should absolutely check
out. Our merch
fucks. It totally fucks. If you're going to be at the Chikar show in Chicago this weekend, I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there?
I was going to be there, and then I was like, oh my god, it's Memorial Day weekend. Let's have people over. And then I made this whole Facebook event and invited a bunch of people, and Ben was like, so Chikar? And I was like, I guess not. I forgot.
So I'm coming after Chikar to your party? Is that what's up? Okay.
I fucked up, man.
Cool. Well, if you're going to be at Chikara, I'll be there. Come say hi, I guess.
Come say hi.
It's going to be fun. I'm super glad that Chikara's going to be back. I only kind of know what's happening in this season. I don't really care.
I mean, that's how we watch Chikara, let's be real.
Yeah, absolutely. I love going to the live events and being like, cool. Ice cream.
And
bicycles.
Bicycles?
Yeah, the cyclists, they were like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember.
They're not really around that
and
much
the
anymore.
And the dirty guys.
Yeah, I was just going to say the hobo.
Pretty sure that's their, like,
I thought they were, like, Victorian street urchins, which I guess are Victorian hobos.
Yeah, that's Victorian hobos.
Okay, fair.
Street urchin is just Victorian for hobo.
You're right. I can't even argue
Who's
with
your
that.
Appreciate?
You're right. My appreciate, I don't know.
Mine's Carmella.
I mean, you already said yours so
Carmella
long ago.
Is money.
I haven't thought of it since then. I don't have one. I don't have a submission. I didn't think enough about it this week. I've got to be honest.
Pass. All right.
I pass.
Got two words for you.
Free mode,
because we don't have any other sign off. Because
no
why would
one
we?
Has suggested free anything.
Free mode for life.
I don't want to do free mode for life.
Did we cast Brie Bella as the Greek god?
Is she Dionysus?
To be continued.
Free mode.